of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, then we know that we live, that we live a new life, and that new life here in this world reveals itself in a hatred of sin, in a fight against sin, and in a walk worthy of the Lord and His resurrection. If we experience the power of the resurrection in our hearts and minds, then we have hope. Hope from a practical point of view is the important question. The question that must also be answered tonight, partially in connection with the words of our text. Do we experience the power of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ? This chapter, beloved, is inspired, as so many things in Scripture are, negatively because of departures from the truth, of heresies. That is especially the heresy that existed in the congregation of Corinth, of the denial of the resurrection. Some, unbelievable though it seem, in the church of Corinth denied that there is a resurrection from the dead. That is what the apostle preached in this chapter. He does so principally by appealing to the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is raised. How then can it be that there is no resurrection of the dead? That is impossible. Moreover, if the Lord is raised, there is a resurrection not only for him, but also for us. Also for all that believe on his name. That is a brief, the argument of the Apostle Paul in this chapter. But then, from verse 35 on, he raises the question which undoubtedly was raised by the heretics in the congregation. How shall it be? How is the resurrection of the dead possible? And with what kind of a body shall the dead arise? And then he treats in verses 35 and following verses. And he says to them that speak thus, the fool. And he points to a very obvious fact in nature. You say that the dead cannot arise. You say, how is it possible that the dead arise from the grave? You ask the question, undoubtedly an unbelief, how and with what body shall the dead arise? The fool, look at nature. Not because you find in nature a resurrection of the dead, but because at least you find a very vivid picture of the resurrection of the dead everywhere around you. A seed does not become alive except it dies first. And a seed essentially suddenly arises from the dead. In the same body essentially which was sown. But nevertheless, in an altogether different form. So the two chief parts of my text. And therefore, beloved, we speak a moment on the resurrection body. And note that it is a raised body. A body that is raised. Perfect body. A body that is free from all the effects of sin and the curse. And thirdly, that it is a spiritual body. The resurrection body. A raised body. A perfect body. A spiritual body. I say, beloved, a raised body. It is rather important that we call attention to this fact for just a few moments. When I speak of a raised body, I mean, beloved, that the body of the resurrection is not a new creation. God never creates anything essentially new. The works of God are all one. In all creation and in all the history and in all the consummation of things, the works of God are the same. They're all one. In creation, in sin and corruption and death, and in redemption and deliverance and perfection, the works of God are one. Never does God add anything to it. And never does he change that which he created in the beginning essentially. Essentially, therefore, the body of the resurrection is the same as the body we have now, and is the same as the body which God created in the beginning. And that is true already of our spiritual resurrection, beloved. When a man is spiritually raised from the dead, at the time of what is called regeneration, the man is not changed essentially. The same man that was born, the same man that was dead in sin and misery, that same man is regenerated and becomes, in that sense of the word, spiritually a new man. But it's the same man. It's the same person. It's essentially the same nature, the same mind, the same intellect. Only spiritually, completely renewed. And that is even true, beloved, in regard to the final consummation of all things. We sometimes have the idea that at the end, when God will cause the present creation to be dissolved, and God will make a new creation, that new creation is essentially entirely new, yet that is not the case. even though we read of the conflagration of all things in the end, that the heavens and the earth will burn up, and that the very elements shall burn. Yet, essentially, beloved, in the conflagration of the end of the world, creation will essentially be maintained and preserved, although it shall be entirely transformed. Transformation. Regeneration, even the regeneration of all things, characterizes the work of God. But it never changes essentially that which He made at the beginning. The works of God are one. The same is true of our resurrection body. I say this, beloved, because when you look at the dead body, you think that's impossible. We ask the question, but what becomes of our bodies pretty soon, before long? They're buried, and they literally return to the dust. We will open the grave a few years after the burial. You will find that there's nothing left, nothing but a heap of dust. The resurrection possible? With what body can they come? We say that's impossible. Yes, but beloved, nevertheless, the essence of our bodies, according to the presentation of the apostle and the word of our text, as we shall see, the essence of our bodies is preserved. No matter how, no matter whether we can understand it or not, the essence, the real essence of our body is so preserved that the resurrection is not a new creation, but is indeed a resurrection. In the words of our text, that is very beautifully expressed, beloved, very beautifully. Notice. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is sown in weakness. It is sown a natural body. That beautiful. You know, you must remember that, beloved. Remember that when you stand by the grave. That very comforting. Remember that when you look at your own body and when you think of the time that your own body shall be at the funeral parlors and shall presently be entrusted to the sepulcher. Remember that. That's very beautiful. It's a song. The body is sown, beloved. The apostle, of course, refers to the burial. In the burial, the body is sown. It's sown in the grave. And when we say that body is sown, there are at least four elements implied in that figure. In the first place, of course, it means that that body is like a seed. As a seed is sown in the soil, so the body is sown. And when you look at that dead body, as it is laid down in the grave, look at it in that light, beloved. That body is a seed. As you plant a seed in the garden, so you plant the body in the grave. Secondly, it applies that seed of the body shall become alive again. As a seed cast into the soil becomes alive again, so the body buried in the grave shall become alive again. Not, of course, by natural process, that is not the idea at all. But by the wonder of the resurrection, through the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us, that Holy Spirit shall also, according to Romans 8, verse 11, that Holy Spirit shall also quicken our mortal bodies. No question about it. But that is the second element in that figure of the sowing. Our body is sown. Remember that. I say once more, when you stand by the grave, do not fear. Do not feel bad, beloved, because that body is lowered into the grave. No reason to feel bad. The body is sown. And that it is sown as a seed means that it will be quickened as a body. Thirdly, according to the figure of the apostle, also in the preceding verses, it is implied in that sowing that the same body, in every respect, the same body that is sown shall be raised. I think that is even true individually, beloved. Do not forget that. I think when we look at this, at this text of the apostle in 1 Corinthians, we will abhor the practice of cremation. We won't burn our bodies. We must sow our bodies. Oh, not because it makes any essential difference, beloved. Many of the bodies of the saints were burnt at the stake, were burnt to ashes, and even those bodies shall essentially be raised in such a way that every individual shall receive his own body. But for two reasons. In the first place, I think cremation is a practice of the unbeliever to express that he does not believe in the resurrection and to prove to you that death is the end. In the second place, because our Lord Jesus Christ was in the grave, and I like to be even in death where the Lord Jesus Christ was, beloved. I like to be buried. I don't like to be burned. For those two reasons, we must have cremation. We must have the burial and say it is sown. And that it is sown, beloved, I say, also implies that the same body shall be raised that was buried. And that is already evident from the context of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle says, the body that's sown shall also be raised. Of course, when you sow wheat, you do not expect to reap barley. When you sow wheat, you expect to reap wheat. When you sow corn, you expect to reap corn. And so on. When you sow oats, you do not expect anything else but oats. That is also true of the body, according to the apostle. The same body that is buried shall be raised from the dead. And I say, even to such an extent, that we shall all receive our own individual bodies. You must remember, beloved, that body and soul belong together. I do not fit in your body here, and you do not fit in my body. What is true here is also true of the body of the resurrection. In the resurrection, the body of the Apostle John shall fit a soul, and the body of the Apostle Paul shall fit a soul. The soul of the Apostle Paul shall not fit in the body of the Apostle John. So even the individual body shall be raised essentially so as to fit the soul that is now in glory. Finally, of course, that body will be changed. That's also true according to the Apostle Paul. Even in the figure, all you sow a seed, all you plant a bulb. But beloved, you don't get the seed, you get the whole plant. From the seed of wheat comes the stalk, beautiful stalk, and the grain. From the bulb of the tulip grows the plant, developing into a beautiful flower. That is also true of the body of the resurrection. It is sown, oh yes. But even as you essentially expect the same body that is sown in the resurrection, nevertheless, you expect that body to be glorified, even as the seed of a tulip bulb is glorified in the plant and the flower. That is the idea of the apostle in the context. Besides, notice that the apostle speaks of resurrection. The resurrection, beloved. Resurrection is to raise again from the dead. To raise from the sphere of the dead. The body is buried in the sphere of the dead. But that same body shall be raised again into a new life. Only of course, that raised body, even as it is in nature, shall be changed. Changed in a twofold sense, beloved. Shall be changed in the sense that it is free from all the effects of sin and of the curse. And also in this respect, that as it is sown a psychical body, translated natural body in the text, as it is sown a soul body, it shall be raised a spirit body, a body that fits the spirit. This we must examine next. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. Note, beloved, that the apostle does not simply say it is sown a corruptible body. And that is not the idea. He says, it is sown in corruption. And that means two things. It certainly means that the body that is sown is itself corruptible. And we may say too, is itself corrupted. Our bodies are corrupted. Oh, the final manifestation of that corruption you find when you bury the dead. Corruption, corruption, decay, decay, dissolution. An undertaker may fix up the body. Doesn't help very much. You look at the body as we did this week of a beloved, and you say, well, the undertaker did a good job. He certainly did. In fact, the body that is sown often looks nicer than the body when it was still alive. That was the case here too. But, beloved, it doesn't take long. If the undertaker is not in a hurry, if the body is left in the funeral palace for 2, 3, 4 days, you see that the power of corruption has the victory over it already in that body. We do too. That's always the case. And that body that is in the funeral parlor, beloved, is corrupted, is given over to dissolution, given over to entire decay, to absolute corruption, so that presently there is nothing left of it. That's the body. But remember that it is not true only of the body that you see in the funeral parlor. That is true of the body with which we are born, beloved. We are born with a corruptible body. That corruption may be postponed a while, as far as the manifestation is concerned. Sometimes it looks as if a newborn baby or a baby of 2 or 3 or 4 months old is really not corrupted, but it is nevertheless. The corruption is in his blood and works in his blood. The corruption is in his bones and works in his bones. That body has corruption inside of it, beloved. And gradually that corruption of the body reveals itself more and more until the end comes. But that's not all. The apostle, I say, does not say it is sown as a corrupted body or as a corruptible body, but it is sown in corruption. That means that our present bodies, from our birth on, live in the sphere of corruption. Corruption round about us. This world is corrupted. A curse. World lies in the midst of death. And therefore, modern science knows so well, beloved, that you must be careful what you eat and what you drink. Be careful that you do not come into contact with one that sneezes or with one that coughs. Be careful of the germs. They are the corruption round about us. Germs of colds and tuberculosis. Germs of polio. Germs of scarlet fever. And all kinds of diseases are round about us. And therefore, we are not only corrupted, but we are in the sphere of corruption. But it is raised in incorruption. You know why, don't you? It is raised in the first place in incorruption because the body of the resurrection is empowered and is connected with Christ. There is Lord. This body isn't. This body is not connected with Christ, beloved. Our soul is, our regenerated heart is, but not our body. Our body is still outside of Christ, and will be until we shall arrive in glory. And then, in the day of the resurrection, our bodies will be connected with Christ, and because that body is connected with the body of Christ, therefore the body itself shall be without corruption. Is there more? Also in the new heavens and the new earth, there will be no germs. You shall never cough. Never be afraid to get contact with the saints, beloved. Don't be afraid when the saint sneezes in your face. Although it shall not even sneeze. But don't be afraid. There are no germs there. In heaven, in the new creation, there are no germs. There's no sphere of corruption. We are sown in corruption, so we shall be raised in the sphere of incorruption in everlasting glory. All because also the new creation is connected with the body of Christ. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. Oh, it's terrible, isn't it, beloved, to look at a corpse. Don't you think so? I said to my wife, I don't want to be exposed publicly for a long time after I'm dead. I don't want to lie there. Especially not be exposed to friends and foes. They don't have to look at my dead body anymore. Remember that, please. I don't like that. But it's horrible, too. I'm ashamed of my body now. My body is indeed. I'm ashamed of it. I'm sure you will be ashamed of my body and the funeral pyre. A horrible sight, to my mind, a horrible sight. Nothing nice to look at anymore. Horrible. Nothing beautiful about it. Nothing beautiful about it because there is no glory of life in that dead body anymore. No glory of life. It's dead. It's deep. It's horrible. When I think of that, beloved, I'm afraid of death. I'm afraid of it. I don't like it. But there's more. It's not only in the funeral prayer that body is in dishonor, that body is in dishonor all the way through our life. No, most people don't like their bodies, beloved. Even good, healthy people don't like their bodies. course, that's why our ladies put on lipstick and rouge and powder and so on and so forth. That's the reason. They don't like their own bodies. Don't you see? They don't like them. I'm not surprised about that. If you only don't put an ounce of thick, beloved, because then you make it more homely yet. Don't put your lipstick on too thick. Don't put your rouge on too thick, not too heavy. Little bit is all right. Little bit. Because then you confess, my present body is in dishonor, and I like it. That's what you confess then. But, beloved, that's not all. There are all kinds of trouble and diseases, and misformation of the body, especially when we get a certain disease, beloved. For instance, I'm ashamed sometimes to walk downtown while my leg is too stiff. I don't like that. I don't like that. I'm proud. My body's in dishonor. And that's the way with all our bodies, beloved, in dishonor, all our bodies. But it is thrown in the sphere of dishonor, but it is raised in glory. Oh, that's beautiful. It is raised in glory. Why? Again, I say, because our resurrection body shall be connected with the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Living connection of our body with his resurrection body. And through his spirit, he shall make our bodies glorious. It is raised in glory. Not only in as glorious, but in glory. Because even as the resurrection body will have glory in itself, so in the new creation it will all be glory. All be glory. It is raised, it is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. Oh yes. All because of the curse. All because of sin and death. A weak. They are the sphere of weakness. The weak, they're born weak, and they become weaker as we go on. We have no power, beloved. We have no power to have the victory over any disease. We have no power to have the victory over death. Our body is weak. Our body is weak. Also in the sense, beloved, that it gradually loses all the power it even has. The eyes grow dim. You put on glasses, and stronger glasses. The ears grow heavy. We put on hearing aids, don't we not? Do we not? We need it. Gradually, beloved, the body grows weaker and weaker. Oh, we may last 70 years, 80 years perhaps, but before long, the body succumbs. Death comes. As I read a book this week, death comes and says to us, brother, you are my brother, and we are the brother of death. You're my brother. Come along, please. I take you along. Death will do that. And as we are weak, so we live in the sphere of weakness. You know, there's nothing in the world here that can strengthen us. In paradise, there was the tree of life. And as long as Adam could eat from the tree of life, his earthly body would undoubtedly be sustained to live, but there's nothing like the tree of life in our present creation that's under the curse. We can eat and drink as much as you want to. We can take medicine. We can take all kinds of treatments. Doesn't help. Not in this world. We live in the sphere of weakness, and the sphere of weakness without, and the weakness within finally brings us to the grave. But we shall be raised in power, in strength. Oh, again I say, we shall be raised in strength because of the power of the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Sure. Don't you know? His power will be our power. The power of his body will be the power of our bodies. The power of his body is the power of the Son of God in glorious flesh. And through his Spirit, he shall make our bodies powerful forever, beloved. And not only that, but we live in the sphere of power. There, in the new creation. No more germs, no more. We don't even have to eat and drink. That is certainly not the food of this present time. We don't. When Christ ate and drank for his disciples at the resurrection, he did that to show them that he was there, that it was life, we didn't need it. Or not. That then is the change and the resurrection, the perfect body, the change and the resurrection, and that removes the curse of sin. And finally, it is also a spiritual body. I'd like to develop that a little more, but I have no time. Perhaps I can preach on this another Sunday sometime, beloved. Maybe in connection with verse 49. As we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. There's something else. That to be raised in incorruption and to be raised in glory and to be raised in power. We shall be raised with the image of the heavenly. Principally, that is true because we shall be raised in spiritual body. Don't mistake a spiritual body, beloved, with a body that is a spirit. We shall not become spirits in the resurrection. We shall have bodies. We shall have material bodies. Although the material will be entirely different from the material of our present body, entirely different. Maybe I can explain that later. But now I want to emphasize that the apostle, by the word natural, means psychical. Natural is not the real translation of that word, beloved. We could translate, it is sown a natural body. That is, it is sown a psychical body. It is sown a soul body. That's the meaning of it. It is sown a soul body. A body is a soul body. Don't you know? A body is a body that belongs to the earthly soul. Earthly soul. As it belongs to this present earth. We have an earthly soul, beloved. And we have an earthly body. And we live in an earthly sphere. That means all our senses our eyes, our ears, our taste, our smell, our touch is earthy. We cannot see spiritual things. We cannot see heavenly things. We cannot see Christ. Even though he is here, we cannot see him. He's here, all right. But we cannot see him. We cannot see angels. They're here, all right. The angels like to worship with us in the tomb. We cannot see them. We cannot hear them. They probably sang with us, beloved, as we sang our hymns. But we cannot hear them. Our ears and our eyes are earthy, limited to the earthy sphere. A psychical body, a psychical body, a soul body. Is so. It is so a psychical body. It is raised spiritual. Oh, that will be some deliverance. Don't you know, as you hear me preach tonight, as I hear myself preach tonight, isn't your regenerated heart quickened, beloved? Don't you long? Don't you long to be delivered from this present body and to be in the spiritual body when you can see Christ, we can see the angels, we can see heaven, when in Christ you can see God, when you can have fellowship through the senses of a spiritual body with the heavenly things, that would be wonderful. I feel, beloved, when I read this, I feel that my regenerated spirit longs for the time when it shall be delivered from the body of this death, from this corruptible and weak and dishonorable body, and from this psychical body, so that I can be in the sphere of heavenly things in glory forever. And now I must quit. Take it along, beloved. Let that be your comfort. Believe it. And when you believe, seek the things that are above, not the things that are below. Seek the heavenly things, for Christ is sitting at the right hand of God, and your hope will never fail. Amen.